Numbers chapter 8 is found on page 161. Numbers is a book that describes the wanderings of the Israelites in the wilderness. However, by chapter 8, we still haven't left Sinai yet. They're still preparing for the journey. There are practical preparations. How many fighting men do they have? Who will carry what in regards to the tabernacle? And how is the camp to be arranged? But there are more than practical considerations for them. There are also spiritual considerations, and they would need guidance. And we read in chapter 8 of God guiding his people. So let's turn in God's word to chapter 8. Pay attention to God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand." And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them, and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with his grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull as a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go into service, the tabernacle of meeting. So you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary." Thus Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes, and then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So they did to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Now, some of you will be traveling over spring break, and you have the car loaded up with luggage. You have the tank full of gas. You hopefully have remembered all your children, and you know your destination. But how will you get there? Well, often we depend on a GPS. The very first GPS that I got was when I lived in Philadelphia for a year. I had no idea of the roads, where things were located, and so I needed a GPS to get around. Now, someone had told me that a GPS can take some time to locate a signal, and so I allowed for that. But this particular GPS that I had got was clearly faulty. It would take about 15 to 20 minutes before it finally started giving out instructions, and I was driving around Philly waiting on this GPS to speak instructions to me. Well, the children of Israel didn't have a faulty GPS. No, they had the Word of God speaking to them. And we learned about this last week in the last verse of chapter 7, verse 89. Now, when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony, from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. So Moses went into the tabernacle, and the Lord spoke to him. And so the Israelites, they were enjoying fellowship with God, and as a result, they heard the word of God. And Moses records some of the instructions here in this chapter, in chapter 8. And we'll be reading about the lampstand in the tabernacle and the dedication of the Levites into service. And we'll see the Israelites were reminded of God's blessing on them and also of the atoning sacrifice set up by the Levites, ensuring they were protected from the Lord's judgment for their sin. And so likewise, as you walk in the wilderness, remember God's revealed word, which is Jesus Christ. He is with you, and you are to shine out that blessing of the atonement of sin that Christ provides as you lay down your lives in service to him. So firstly, notice God's blessing is on you. Now, I do hope you picked up a handout when you came in, because there's pictures in the handout, and we all like seeing pictures. And inside, you'll see a picture of the tabernacle. In the tabernacle were a number of pieces of furniture, and Moses makes mention of the lampstand, and you'll see a picture of that lampstand in your handout. Remember, there were no windows in the tabernacle, and so light was necessary for the priests to do their work. And this lampstand had seven lamps, which continually were supplied with oil, so the lamps were kept burning. But the lampstand had a much greater purpose than simply giving out light. The tabernacle is also known as the tent of meeting. And so it was more than a place where sacrifices were offered. It was where God meets with his people through Moses. And we see God talking to Moses here. The lampstand symbolizes God. He is the source of light. And that's why this piece of furniture was made out of pure gold. The other pieces of furniture were simply covered with gold. The lampstand has seven lamps on it, and that symbolizes the completeness and the perfection of God's presence. The lampstand was set up, and it was to shed light to what was in front of it. And what was in front of the lampstand, you'll see it in your handout, it's a table of showbread. And this table had on it 12 loaves representing the offerings of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why this passage follows on from chapter 7, where the Israelites brought their offerings to God, and God accepted them. And that acceptance was evident by God speaking in fellowship to his people. But prior to chapter 7, this chapter on the offerings, at the end of chapter 6, we studied and considered the Aaronic blessing. And in that blessing, we read of the Lord's face shining upon his people. And the same word, give light or shine, found in the Aaronic blessing, is what is used here when describing the light of the lampstand as it shone on what was in front of it on the table of showbread. And so the light of the lampstand represented God's favor, God's blessing was on the tribes of Israel. Duguid says, what the priest declared in the words of their benediction, the lampstand of the tabernacle proclaimed as a daily reality, the light of the Lord's blessing rested upon all of the tribes of his people, making their offering acceptable in his sight. God's love and acceptance of those who were his own was depicted at the very heart of the tabernacle. And it's easy to see the fulfillment of the lampstand in Christ. Isaiah prophesied that the coming Messiah would be a light. Isaiah 49, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so Christ would be a light, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And he describes himself as the light in John 8. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So what Moses experienced in the tabernacle was therefore only a shadow of Christ. You being in Christ, you have the real thing. Sometimes we can wrongly think, oh, it'd be wonderful to see and experience the tabernacle again. And we forget that we have it better by far. For you being in Christ, you enjoy God's face shining upon you. You know his blessing. He's opened your eyes, so you know the truth. You know that you are one of his people, that he's with you, that he will protect you. So secondly, consider you are to radiate God's blessing into this world. Now, this past week, the temperature has warmed up a little. The sun's come out, and it feels good to be outside, doesn't it? And to have the sun on your skin, it's refreshing. Well, that's a picture of having God's word in your life. For the Israelites on this journey, they trusted in God who revealed to them the truth as spoken to Moses in the tabernacle. They had to accept God's light, his revealed will for them, as a plan to guide them through this journey. For you today, Christ reveals his truth to you personally through his word. The Holy Spirit illuminates his word to us, applies it to our lives. And in the confusion of this world, we need the truth. We need to know God's word to receive his blessing. Now, in the UK, in the winter time, it is dark by about 4 in the afternoon. The sun doesn't come up till about 8 a.m. the next morning. And so the days are very short. And winter is a good description of what this world is like without Christ. We need Christ to shine into the darkness, to open the eyes of the blind so that they see the truth, that he is the Christ, that in him there is hope. But it's you who are to bring this truth, this light, into the world. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, describes them as the light of the world. In Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world, but we are to reflect this light. And so every Christian, every church is to be a beacon of light in the location where God has placed you. In the book of Revelation, it mentions the 7 lampstands. These 7 lampstands refer to 7 churches, and it's a picture of all churches. In the center of the 7 lampstands was Christ. And if Christ is at the center of our church, we will be shining out God's blessing into this world. Too often churches are shining out another message, whether that's social justice or environmentalism or political messages or historical lectures. They forget Christ, and instead they focus on something secondary. But what happens when we shine out the light of Christ? I wonder if the children in the church like to do this. I know my children like to do this. They like to lift up rocks in the garden, in the yard, and they see what's below the rocks. There's often lots of insects, woodlice, ants. And what do? They scurry away. They're afraid of the light. Instead, they prefer the dark. And so as we shine out the light of Christ, there will be many who will seek to avoid the light. They don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. In John 1, verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And ultimately, they sought to kill Jesus because of the light that he shed. And so you should not be surprised that people do not like the truth of the gospel. They will be offended by it. And your response, it's not to dilute the truth. It's not to hide the brightness of the light. No, you are to continue being faithful, shining out the light of God's blessing on those around you, and praying that God opens blind eyes. Well, thirdly, consider God chose the Levites to provide atonement for his people, or to be substitutes for his people. So God chose the Levites to serve. He didn't ask for volunteers. He didn't ask the Levites' permission. No, God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he chose the Levites to serve him. And there are a number of things to notice in this passage where we see the Levites being dedicated to the service of the tabernacle. Notice the Levites needed to be cleansed. The Levites weren't chosen because they were the most honorable tribe of Israel. They were sinners, and yet God chose them. But in choosing them, he also had to cleanse them to make them acceptable to him. And we read of them being purified. This involves them being sprinkled with water, removing all the hair off their body, washing their clothes. And this outward cleansing is symbolic of a fresh start, of rebirth. But the outward cleansing was not enough. There had to be atonement for sin. They had to offer sacrifices. And we read of them offering a burnt sacrifice for atonement, or a burnt offering for atonement, and a sin offering for purification. And this dedication, this consecration, happened in front of all the Israelites. So this wasn't simply a personal calling that the Levites had. No, this calling involved the whole nation of Israel. And that's because the Levites were being dedicated to the service in place of the firstborn of all of the tribes of Israel. They were acting as substitutes. And you may remember the idea of a scapegoat, of the priest laying his hands on the goat, confessing the sins of the nation on that goat. And that goat would be set free into the wilderness. Well, here the tribes of Israel are laying their hands on the Levites. And this ritual of laying on of hands means the Israelites recognize these Levites to be their representatives. They were transferring their identity onto them. God would accept the Levites in place of the firstborn of Israel. The Levites were to be a living sacrifice, taking the place of Israel, in the same way that the burnt offering and the sin offering took the place of the Levites. And so the people presented the Levites as a wave offering before God. Now, a wave offering would mean waving a portion before the altar of the Lord, and then the priests would get to keep it. These Levites are offered before the Lord. I don't imagine they were literally lifted up and waved before the altar, but the idea is the same. These men, these Levites, are given to the Lord to his service. In verse 19, God describes the Levites as a gift from the Israelites to the priests. And the purpose of this gift was to prevent plague coming down on the Israelites. And so the Levites enabled the tabernacle to function. The Levites carried out the repairs. They would make sure that there was enough supplies of oil and animals. They would clean the tabernacle. They would guard the tabernacle. And so God chose this tribe to serve him so that atonement of sin would continue and the Israelites would enjoy fellowship with God. Well, fourthly, notice Christ is the ultimate Levite. And we need to be clear, the tabernacle pointed forward to Christ. It wasn't that these Old Testament saints were trusting in the death of these particular animals, but they were looking forward to the coming Redeemer who fulfilled these sacrifices. Last time we considered how Judah was first in line. This tribe was given this privileged position because it was recognized that from this tribe, the coming Messiah would come. Caddy in his commentary speaks of it in a similar way, that we participate in the Lord's Supper looking back in faith in what Christ has done. The Israelites took part in the tabernacle sacrifices looking forward in faith to what Christ would do. And so the tabernacle has many shadows that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And most clearly from this passage, we see the shadow of Christ in the Levites. And there are many similarities between Christ and the Levites from this passage. As the Levites were substitutes for the firstborn of Israel, Christ likewise was the substitute for his people. As the Levites were ceremonially cleansed in beginning their ministry, Christ, in preparation for his ministry, was baptized in the Jordan. And we can read of that in Matthew 3. It's in your handout. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. And so he began his ministry with this ceremonial cleansing. And like the Levites, it was before the people. It was done publicly. Now we know the Levites had to be cleansed because they are sinners. Well, Jesus didn't have any sin. He was perfect. That's why John the Baptist contested that he should not baptize Jesus. Instead, it should be the other way around. And John is right, Jesus is sinless. But Jesus was wanting to be baptized so to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all righteousness meant that those who are called into service are to be cleansed. And so Jesus, beginning his service, his ministry, followed the rules and was outwardly cleansed like the Levites, keeping to the demands of righteousness. He was willing to accomplish whatever was necessary for the forgiveness of sins to take place, even if he himself had no sin. The Levites were cleansed. They were set apart to represent the nation of Israel. And likewise, Jesus did this to identify with his people. He took their place, even in this cleansing, so to be a substitute for them. The Levites gave of themselves as a living sacrifice for the firstborn of Israel. They would enable the tabernacle to do the work of providing atonement through sacrifice. Well, Christ himself would be the atoning sacrifice. And this he did on the cross. He received on himself the sins of his people. He bore the punishment of those sins in their place. And the result is that he provides forgiveness. The Levites are described here as a gift. Christ likewise was a gift from God in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in the same way that the presence of the Levites protected the people from the plague by them providing atonement, Christ prevents his people from dying and coming to God because he has removed that curse. He's opened the way for them to God. God spoke to Moses in the tabernacle above the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, Christ removed the divide between God and his people. The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom when Christ died. And so now each of God's people can come before God, can have fellowship with God, and be blessed by him. So in Christ, we have all that we need for salvation from our sins. And so you must trust in him. Then finally, notice you are to be Levites in this world. Moses gives us a few more instructions regarding the Levites at the end of this chapter. They enter into service at the age of 25. Now, you may remember from an earlier chapter in Numbers, Numbers 4, that the age was 30. Well, why is there a difference? Well, we can't be sure. Some believe the age of 25 to 30 was like an apprentice period. Others think they possibly changed the age requirement from 25 to 30, especially after Nadab and Abihu's death. And remember, this passage would chronologically have come earlier, but we can't be sure. We also read of them retiring at the age of 50. Now, this maybe seems very young, but we must remember about the work that these Levites were involved in. It was heavy, manual work. Building and dismantling the tabernacle, guarding the tabernacle, preventing access without being authorized. So this was a hard job. I believe in Indiana, the age that firefighters can retire is that of 52. And that's because it's a manual job. It's very demanding. Physically, you must be at your peak. And so likewise for the Levites, they needed to be at their peak to do this job. Now, in some ways, retiring is a misleading term for the Levites. In verse 26, we read of the work of those Levites over 50 years old, and it's to minister to their fellow Levites, attend to their needs. And so these older men could impart much wisdom and support to their younger counterparts. They were not to be ignored. And so in a very practical way, we need Levites today. Now, sometimes the Levites are seen as the equivalent to the deacons in the New Testament church. They are the ones who do the practical work in the tabernacle to enable the priests to do their job of sacrificing animals and bringing to the people the word of God. But in other ways, we are all to be Levites. We are all to lay down our lives as living sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Duguid says we can speak of the Levitehood of all believers because we are joined to the one who has fulfilled their ministry. And so since we are united to Christ, we are united in his ministry. Now, we ourselves can't make atonement for others, but like the Levites, we are to bring people to the work of Christ. We are to make it known. We are to facilitate the worship of God. In the next chapter of Numbers, we will read about the festival of the Passover. And so it's no wonder that Moses arranges the book of Numbers as he has. He's showing that the Levites are in place, and the result is the Israelites can now remember the Passover and celebrate God's deliverance of them. So like the Levites, you are to serve. It will be hard work. It will be physically demanding. It will come with much sacrifice. And like the Levites, there isn't an option for retirement. Instead, you are to assist the next generation Older men are to teach younger men. Older women are to teach younger women. And the result is a message of God's deliverance. His atonement for sin is proclaimed in this world of darkness. Now, this Wednesday is a special day. I wonder if any of the children know what's happening on Wednesday. No one knows. Well, your parents will have to dress you in green and feed you corned beef and cabbage because it's St. Patrick's Day. But it's the service of Patrick that I want you to consider. He went back to the land of his captivity to tell them the gospel. He preached the gospel to the Irish, the very people who had enslaved him. And it would be to much risk to his own life. It wouldn't be comfortable. It wouldn't be luxurious. And Patrick writes, "It is right to spread abroad the name of God faithfully and without fear, so that even after my death I may leave something of value to the many thousands of brothers and sisters, the children whom I baptized in the Lord." Patrick died in Ireland. He never went back to his homeland. His grave is found actually in Northern Ireland. And he sacrificed everything to tell the Irish the good news of the gospel. And so some of you may be called to go to a far-off land, especially you young people, as you consider what God has in store for you. You should be asking, you should be open to God taking you to far-off places, to the mission field, whether that is South Sudan, or Pakistan, or India, or France. It doesn't even have to be foreign missions. Ken and Carlin's son Jonathan, in finding work, has got himself involved in a local church, a church that was once very weak and now is thriving. And we have many weak churches in our denomination that need the support of additional people to come alongside and to encourage. But you're also to seek to see the ministry here in Bloomington continue and be blessed. And so take time to consider, how will you lay down your lives as you walk in the wilderness and shining out the blessing of Christ, of his atonement of sins? Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing on us. We thank you that we enjoy the light of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a light in this world, reflecting Christ's light, especially in the darkness of the confusion, that we would present the truth. Lord, as we've been considering the Levites in the tabernacle, we remember how Christ is the ultimate Levite, how he was the substitute, how he took our place, how he bore our sins on himself to make atonement so that we can know your mercy. We thank you for how he was cleansed to be set apart for service of bringing the kingdom to this world. We thank you for how he is your gift to this world, and so that through him we can enjoy eternal life. And so, Lord, help us to be Levites, even in this incoming week. Help us to be willing to lay down our lives to tell people of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.